presentation of new members. So we have new members with us this morning, and we want to bring them in the front, and we want to also pray for them. But before we do so, there's a slide that's going to be showing here of the new members. Some of you might not have the pictures there because they had a hard time to get me the pictures across, but we have new members right there. I think just a little question on it. And so we're excited for the new members. So good morning to you all, New Hope. We have the privilege of celebrating, so when that is moving, celebrating the official reception of new members of New Hope Christian Assembly. And I would like to invite the following individuals to join with me in the front this morning. There are 12 new members, so please come up for. And you are unable, if some of you are not able to be here, we forgive you. But the ones who are here, just come on up this morning. We're going to, are you here? 12 members, are you even shy? 12 members, come up. I believe we're missing one, but it's okay. We forgive her. We love her. We pray for her. And we know that it's Marcia. She is not here with us this morning. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, we're missing her. So we need to make an appoint that this most important membership is to have membership of one on the body of Christ, which is realized by having a personal relationship with Lord Jesus Christ. And we all done that. And all of these brothers and sisters confessed Jesus as the Lord and Savior. However, we fully believe in the value and importance of church membership. This morning we acknowledge and celebrate these who are formalizing their commitment to the life of ministry of New Hope Christian Assembly. And we are only one expression of the church, the body of Christ. It is true that this kind of membership does not allow us taking care of business. It allows us to take care of business, such things like annual meetings and decisions on future building programs. But more importantly, membership is a significant statement and step of accountability and commitment. We are excited about the step that you are taking, and it means a lot for the pastor and also for the leadership of the church, New Hope, to know that you are making this significant commitment to support the ministry of New Hope with your prayers, your tithes, and your participation. So I ask you publicly before your church family, do you commit yourself to the ministry of New Hope Christian Assembly? Do you join us in making sure that those who attend here would sense and experience the reality of God, that together we would find ourselves growing in the character of Christ, not settling to be a churchgoer, but a Christ follower, that we might live out true Christian community as we care for and serve with one another, and finally, to put together the impacting our culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So here it comes, my 12 new members of our church. Do you commit yourself to serving and loving one another, to becoming preoccupied with one another, with love and good works? If you do, please respond, by the grace of God, we do. By the grace of God, we do. Welcome them to New Hope Christian Assembly this morning. Can I have someone just to distribute this certificate of membership, please? Thank you. Don't forget me, Michael. Let's pray for them now. Let's go to pray. Oh, we don't leave without praying, brothers and sisters. Is Oliver? So Sophia's not here. She's in. Oliver, this is yours. Church, let's stand while we're going to pray for them. Pastor Allen, would you like to lead us in prayer?
Let's just reach out our hands to these folks that are coming into the family of God with us in this particular church. Father, you've called us to be part of a family. Lord, this is the family of New Hope, and we just thank you that they've made that extra step to cross third base and come to home plate. Lord, this is their home. This is their home church. And Lord, we just pray that all the spiritual blessings that come with the family of God, all the blessings of the heirship of being here, yes, and being involved,
yes,
Lord, that you will just bless them from this moment on.
Yes,
I pray, oh Lord, that we as the church that are members, that we will see them as, yes, our total family,
Jesus,
and intimately care and love them with hospitality and kindness and prayer. Lord, we pray for that blessing and joy to be released,
yes,
upon them.
Lord.
We pray you activate and fan into flame the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, you've brought them here because they fit into this body.
Amen.
Lord, whatever giftings you've given them, may they,
amen,
see them. May they utilize,
amen,
them. May they be used in our church,
that's
service,
right,
for
Father,
your glory.
Jesus.
And Lord, we just love them and thank you for this beautiful blessing that we have in celebration,
name,
today.
In Jesus' name.
In your name, amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Isn't that so good? Lately, God is speaking to my heart with the Word of God and really challenging us to take big steps. We also, last week, we heard of a message on trusting the Lord and not trusting ourselves, but trusting God. And Pastor Allen shared about trust. And if you were not here, if you're not able to be here, I encourage you to go on thereishope.ca and you will look at those archives and you will see that the sermons of last week. And you can also be encouraged and blessed through that service. Even last week, as Pastor Allen shared from the Word of God. So I know that God has been really, really challenging us. And some of the people are saying, one sister told me, you're just stepping on my toes. I will have no more toes through what you, if in the time you preach, you give us some challenges and to really examine ourselves and really to focus on ourselves and to remove some stuff. But this morning, what I want to even encourage you through the scriptures and through this message that God has placed on my life is the cost of true discipleship, is surrendering it all. Now, this morning, we've sung songs of surrendering it all. And some of you might be saying, Pastor, but I surrendered my life to Christ already. But just give me a moment this morning. Let me finish what God has in store for us. And just be opened and be ready to receive what God has in store for us. Because the cost of true disciples is, remember that key word, surrendering it all. The word is all right there. And there's things that you and I hold on to even though when we surrender our life to Christ. And we must now this morning through the scriptures understand to surrender it all. When we see completely everything, our thoughts, our minds, our lives, our families, our church, the leadership, our children, surrendering it all to Christ. And when you do that, not just my life, but also the things that we like to take control of. Yeah, we're human and we like to take things control of. But God says, surrender it all. That's what we're going to look at this morning. Now, Matthew 5 is a sermon on the mount. I'm not going to preach on the Sermon on the Mount. But the Sermon on the Mount is Jesus speaking to individuals and digging deep into the heart. It only makes sense to the point of the Sermon on the Mount goes up on the hillside. He talks to his disciples and to the crowd. He's teaching his disciples what he looks like to have a relationship that goes much more beyond than the surface. He starts with the first beatitude and a final invitation. And the entire Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 of Matthew, when you have the chance to look at it, it speaks and it's teaching us to love him and to serve him from the fullness of our hearts. What's amazing about the sermon, about the at the same time he was teaching to his disciples, what he wants from them, he was exposing the opposite in the religious leaders. He is exposing to the people who will look like a picture of a religious success and just an empty and hollow inside. And from the inside, they're so empty and there's nothing in the heart that will move the heart of God. And there's times that you and I would do things in a way we worship and the way we serve and the way we act in the church, but there's sometimes we're hollow inside and it's not touching the heart of God. They do the right things, as here we see in Matthew 5. They do the right things. They will even be voted into a church. How good they were, the outstanding, how they look so great. They look so good in a church. But there's no activities that they do not do. Nothing they missed. Everything what they do is perfect. Do we know some people like that in the church? Everything they do is so perfect. But only God knows fully the heart of that person there. I don't know fully the heart of that person, but you and I know our hearts complete, how we really are. Do we serve the Lord with all our heart, or is it just a surface and a show of what we're doing here? So Matthew 5 and 6, there's even a God who sees the secret. There's a secret, and he exposes them to the empty and hollow. The Sermon of the Mount shows that what really wanted from us, and what's one thing that God wants from us this morning, is not the way we sing. It's not how we jump. It is our hearts. He wants your heart the way he wants my heart. And that's the beauty of it. Because when your heart is controlled by the Master, when your heart is controlled by the Master, and we're going to see that through the scriptures, that he's the Master is loving, and not only that he's loving, but he is kind. So if we totally surrender all to that loving kindness, why do you and I have to be afraid to let go of everything to the one who is loving in kindness towards us? Surrendering all to him is not just partial. We don't sing the song, "I surrender half to you, Lord. I surrender all to thee, Lord." That's a song, a hymn that's sung in the services all the time. So this morning, I want to encourage you, encouraging myself, because this was pretty hard for me. When I was reading this message and God was speaking through me, it was hard for me. I started to cry because there are things in my life that I like to take control, and God says, no, surrender all to me. Surrender it all to me, and you will see the power of his resurrection in your life. 2 Chronicles 16:19-9 tells us, "For the eyes of Yahweh roam throughout the earth to show himself strong for those whose hearts are completely his." Whose hearts are completely his. "You have been foolishness in this matter, therefore you will have wars from now on." The keys there, whose hearts are completely to his. And I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Is your heart fully to Christ this morning? What's so amazing that God is going throughout this room this morning, and he's looking beyond the surface. He's looking beyond the activity. He's looking beyond the routine. He's looking beyond the raising of the hand. He's looking beyond all that. He's looking at the heart. He's looking at the people this morning and trying to look at, and he's looking out to see if your heart is fully committed to him this morning. And the more you and I read the Sermon on the Mount, the more you and I dig into the Word of God and read Matthew 5, you will see that you and I are not even close to Matthew chapter 5. Because there's things over there, the Beatitudes, that when he speaks through the Scriptures, we're not even close to it. So just look a few scriptures together this morning, and we will see what I'm telling you. We look at verse 5 for a moment of Matthew 5. It says, the gentle are blessed, for they will inherit the earth. Now the gentle are, just examine yourself for a moment. Were you gentle with someone this past week? Or what about the next one? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed. Were you really hungry for God? Were you really searching the Spirit of God this week? So every one of us here, when you look around, the next slide again, verse 7. The merciful are blessed, for they will be shown mercy. The pure in heart, examine your heart. Is your heart pure this morning? What about the other one? The peacemakers are blessed. How many of us had argued this week? Instead of being the peacemaker, we end up being the troublemaker. So when you look at Matthew 5, there's the Beatitudes. It hit every one of us this morning. We're not perfect people. We make mistakes. So, if I'm the one who said, and I'm reading Matthew chapter 5, and I say I'm not even close to that, I think, examine ourselves. Are we really close to Matthew chapter 5? Are we really close to Matthew chapter 5? Are we really doing all those verses, the Beatitudes, what God has placed there for us? So when I look at some the Sermon on the Mount, I'm realizing confident that we lack on some of the Beatitudes. We're not where the Lord wants us to be in terms of with our heart. And I'm sure trying to do all the religious activities without the heart fully engaged is absolute exhausting. There is no joy, there is no power, there is no fullness, there is no fruits of the Spirit that's not flowing from the heart. It's simply a routine. A pastor once said this, that he was praying that, God, what do you want from me? Because he always assumed that God wanted something from him. And should I pray more? Should I attend service more? Should I serve more? Should I do this more? Should I memorize more the scriptures? Should I attend more to services? So his prayer, and then he started to pray and pray and pray more often, and he didn't realize that his prayer is not what you want from me, is what you want of me. He changed that word around. So he wants not from me. Our prayer is not from me. It's what do you want of me, Lord? That should be our totally surrender to God. What do you want of me, Lord? It's a painful process, fully surrendering to him. But the pastor already gave, you know, pastor, I already gave my life to Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. Why do I have to surrender my life again? Because there's things that you and I keep hold on to. Psalm 139, 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. And if you look at the word heart here for a moment, we cannot understand our heart. We can't even understand our motives. And I love this prayer. It's a 139 verse 23. The psalmist concluded an appeal for God and says, search me. That's my prayer this morning. Search me, O Lord. Test me, O Lord, and know my concerns. Come in my heart, Lord, and take away what needs to be removed, Lord, because I want a pure heart before you, God. And when he does speak, this is where it comes, the surrendering all. And when he does speak, we must release it and say, God, it's all yours. Because he does speak. And at times when he does speak, we want to hold on. He says, not now, God. Let's wait another week or so. You know, I'm a little bit changing this here for a moment, but there was a person, a mother, that was praying. She was a widow, and she was praying for the son that was addicted to drugs. I didn't want to say what kind of drug, but he was addicted to drugs, and so she wanted me to speak to this young boy, and I used to go there basically twice a week and going to see him all the time and just to try to encourage him to get off of that, and I told him, listen, you must put it in your mind. First of all, you must reject it and you must release it. Let it go. Let it go out of your life. Take it out of your life. And you know, and then we can take step on to step two and step three and step four and step five. He says, oh, I can't let go of that. I want to give my life to Jesus, but I can't let go of that stuff there. I says, you got to be very careful because you're playing with fire here. You can't serve two masters. If you want to serve Jesus, you got to serve Jesus. And you got to release that thing that's controlling your life. Let it go and give it into the hands of God. And he didn't want to do it. He says, no, please pray for me, and I want to accept Jesus Christ, but I can't do it now. I'm going to wait one more week. It's sad to say that one night the mother gets up to go to the washroom in a dark room and kicks the son that he was dying on the floor. He died on the floor. He didn't want to release it. He says he wanted to serve Jesus, but at the same time, he wanted to hold on to that. And his own mother had to see him dead on the floor. You know, I use a dramatic, but there's things in life that you and I hold on to. And you know what it is, one thing? It's control. And you know something, and I will share it later on, control is demonic. And when you control things that does not belong to you, you will fail. New Hope, Christian Assembly, everything in the Bible, everything in the Scripture speaks to our heart. And that's what I'm looking for. Speak to my heart, God. We are doing the right things, but it's not flowing from my heart. No, I want to do the right things in front of the eyes of God. And this morning I want to talk to you about surrendering your heart. And this is a topic that we have heard many times. We heard messages like this. But Pastor, again, I got to hear this message, surrendering it all. Yes, it is good to remind ourselves, surrendering it all. Keith Freeman said this that got my attention when he preached about surrendering. He said that everybody has surrendered to something. Everybody had a master. You are controlled by something, either by sin or by Christ, or by lust or by love, or by anger or by peace. Every one of us here has been controlled by something, and a master has been in your life, and a master has been in my life. And you and I want the one true master that controls our life. We don't like to hear that, but it's true according to God's word. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, they promise their freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption, since people are enslaved to whatever defeats them. So whatever that comes, the first thing that comes in your mind, you are a slave to it. The moment you get up in the morning, if it's whatever it is, a cigarette, whatever it is an alcohol, whatever it is pornography, whatever it is control, it is a sin in the eyes of God, because we must have one true master. And the first thing that you and I, we need to encourage ourselves and work on ourselves to choose the one true master every single day of our lives. And the moment you open our eyes, the first thing you must do, oh, thank you, Jesus, that I am alive today. And He is the true master. Amen? So if something controls your life, if you think more about something else than Christ, that thing is a master of your life. And I'm not going to be a slave to a drug. I'm not going to be a slave to alcohol. I'm going to be a slave to Jesus Christ, because He is my master. Romans 6, 15, 18. What then should we sin because we are under the law, but under grace? Absolutely not. Do you not know if you are under yourselves to someone as obedient slave? You are slaves of that one you obey, either of sin leading to death or disobedience leading to righteousness, or obedience leading to righteousness. But thank God that although you used to be slaves of sin, you're no longer slaves of sin. You got to put that this in your mind this morning. You're no longer slaves of sin. You obeyed from the heart the pattern of teachings that you transformed to. And having been liberated from sin, you became enslaved to righteousness. You are a slave. I'm a bondservant. You are a bondservant to one true master, and that is Jesus Christ this morning. In order for Jesus to be your master, I gotta be a slave. In order for you to have to Jesus to be your master, you gotta be a slave to Him. If Jesus had to be my master, I must submit and submitted my will to Him. I must fully surrender all to Him this morning. So what must we do? Here's the key for this morning. Take up your cross. Take up the cross. Look at it, Luke chapter 9, verse 23-24. Then He said to them all, if anyone wants to come to Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life because of Me will save it. It is important to understand here the word daily. It is not just an experience or a moment or following Christ for one-time decision. Jesus says, for in order to you to follow Me, you must take up the cross daily and follow Him. Meaning having to let go of everything and pick up His cross daily. You cannot pick up the cross and pick up something else and carry something else with you. You must let go of something to pick up the cross daily with Christ. So I wanted to illustrate you with this here this morning. I put it here on purpose last night. And if I'm picking up the cross, how can I pick up this pulpit together? I can't carry it. I got to release something to pick up the cross and walk with the cross, walk with Jesus. I can't have both. It doesn't go on together. So when he says surrendering it all and pick up the cross, that's the only thing you got to pick up. Not a one time, oh, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior that day, and you go home back the same as you were. You got to pick up the cross daily. It's not a one thing decision. And you and I have experienced, and you have seen that people come to the altar and say, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And then we have a situation. Oh. We got to pick up the cross daily. That's a good illustration. Thank you, brother. Oh, Lord, help us. Romans 6:13. And if you do not offer any parts to the sin as weapons of unrighteousness, but as those who are alive from the dead, offer yourselves to God and all the parts of yourselves to God as weapons for righteousness. What Paul is saying is this, as Jesus is saying, even as a believer, we have the responsibility to present ourselves fully daily to God, to the authority to Jesus Christ. The authority of Jesus Christ. We can only have one master, as we looked at it before. Matthew 6:24. No one can have a slave of two masters, since either he will hate one or love the other, or to be devoted to one of the despised or the other. You cannot be slaves of God and of money. You cannot be a slave of God and something of this world. You must release something. And this is where it is encouraging us and it challenging us. New Hope Christian Assembly, if you say that you want to follow Jesus and you want to pick up the cross daily, you must release the things in your life. You must release things and say, Lord, today I make a decision to follow you and only you, Lord. Whatever it is, it may be, it is control, it is your family, it is your finances, whatever it is it can be, say, Lord, I can't do it no more. It's exhausting for me, but I know one thing. If I pick up that cross, I know you're going to be with me because your love is so amazing. You're so kind with us, oh Lord. The one true master is Jesus Christ himself, amen? Through the scriptures, what the Lord is saying to us, how fully under his lordship. And if it's true what Jesus is saying, of what Paul is saying about Romans 6, is it's impossible. It is impossible to be saved and yet not surrender all. Moment by moment under the authority of Jesus Christ. What happens is this, when you and I accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we are on fire for God. We jump for God. We sung that song, I surrender all. And we did. We did that, make that decision. And we done that. And we say, oh yes, Lord, it was beautiful. I surrender all. But as time passes, we want to take control of everything back. Oh, we want to take our future. We want to take back the resources. We want to take back time. That the time belongs to God. We want to control the time and tell God when to do it. We want to take our family in control. We want to say, oh Lord, I'm taking control of my kids. I'm taking control of my wife. I'm taking control of everything. No, we are called to lead. We're not called to control. Because it's demonic. It's an issue. It's a sin when something controls you. When something, you are controlling something else or someone else. And some of us experience that. The control freak. You ever heard of that word, a control freak? Taking back everything, these things, and now God has not a control of anymore. So you're there, and you're holding on to your children. You say, I'm controlling my kid. No, we got to pray for a kid. We must lead our children. You know, I've learned this, and I've spoken to some other pastors in the past, and including myself, I examined on this. And I always wanted my children to be pastors. So the number one stress for me is I was stressing myself, saying, I wanted to be pastor, I want to be pastors. No, you got to be like this, you got to be like this, you got to jump, you got to pray, you got to do this. And then I came to realize I'm stressing myself, because why do I have to be in control of my kids? God, you are in control of my children. You take full control of my kids. You take control full of my wife. You take control of my spouse. You take control of my parents. You take control of my finances. You take control of my sickness. You take control of everything, Lord. When we say everything, it's everything. Don't hold on to it. Let it go. Say, God, take control. Why? Because your love is unfailing. And you're so kind. Because if you love me and you're so kind, he's not going to let you drown. We question the love of God. We question the love of God. Because if he loves us the way he says it through the scriptures and we believe it, just trust him. We heard that last week. Trust him. Just trust him and let God do the work. It's not a formulated, it's not a plan. It's a daily choice to follow him. And here I am, Lord. When we sing those songs, and we're singing it this morning, here I am, Lord. I'm surrendering all to thee, Lord. Lord, this is not my church. It's your church. And at times I want to take control. But no, Lord. He's hurting me. He's working in my heart. He's melting my heart. He's breaking my heart. He says, this is not your church. These are not your people. These are my people. You just called to lead the church. Human always want to take control. And for me to say this today, it takes boldness. For me to tell you that I'm a person that likes to take control, the last word. Some of them, because they heard me already, huh? But no. Examine ourselves. I think we all have that little control. I'm just being transparent with all of you this morning. Amen? You know, God is saying to us stuff like this. Let go of everything. He means everything. Let go of your time. See, he goes, I want your time. I want the church. I want your finances. I want your family. I want your spouses. I want, not spouses, spouse. We're not living in the Old Testament here today. He means that if, how can, if he really means that, how can we be, it can be very terrifying for a human being to say, Lord, I'm letting go of everything. Because it's not in your control anymore. It's in someone else's control. But you and I pray all the time, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Don't we pray like that? Lord, it's not my will, but your will be done. But God says, no, let go of that. Oh, no, no. We question him. So when we say, not my will, Lord, your will be done. Let it be. Allow it. Believe it. Because perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear. Because fear involves punishment. So that the one who fears has not reached perfection in love. So if you fear, if you have that fear, you cannot go to that perfection in love. But love drives out fear. The love of Christ that enters into our lives will drive out that fear of control. Oh, no, 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 I can't leave it. But when we understand the love of God, he wants the best for every one of us from right here to the back. He does not want us to fail. He does not want to hurt us. He doesn't want to destroy us. He wants to help us and encourage us and lift us up and say, just, he says, New Hope Christian Assembly, surrender it all. Yes, surrender it all. And you will see my love and my kindness work in your life. The steadfast of love and the Lord never ceases. Lamentations 3:22, and his mercies never come to an end. Oh, isn't that amazing? Human love come to ends. How many have experienced the love of a man and all of a sudden, I don't love you anymore. It ends. But God's love never ends. Even though if you sinned, even though if you failed, even though if you disobeyed, even though if you were stubborn, even though if you have a heart so hard, he still loves you and still wants all of you. He wants all of your heart. He wants all of my heart this morning. Lord, help us to surrender all to thee, Lord. Loving kindness. Not only that he loves, but he is so kind towards his children. He demonstrated in acts of kindness. His love endures forever means he would never do anything that is not kind for his people. He would never do anything that is not kind towards his children. Love never ceases. And if I believe that this morning, if you believe that this morning, why not leaving everything at the cross? If you truly believe the love of Christ, if you truly believe of his love that never ends, of his kindness that is always there for us, why not leave it to the cross? All he wants to do is spoil me. All he wants to do is spoil you with this kindness. So if you and I believe that, where? Why do we have to doubt on it? And say, Lord, I'm leaving it into your hands, Lord. He has promised it to us. He loves us with his unfailing love, love of kindness. And we sing those songs, and I put in there, thy loving kindness is better than life. I mean, amen? Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Let's sing it. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands and thy name. I lift them up, Lord, unto thy name. I lift them up, Lord, unto thy name. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Amen? Amen? Didn't it feel good? Isn't that amazing? But if we sing it with our hearts, it's completely different when we just sing it because we sing it. I'm getting there. Lord, trusting in all your perfect loving kindness, I surrender all that I have to you. And two things, surrendering it all to the Lord. One, you must release all control. Two, you must embrace of his lordship. We looked at it before, control is demonic. It's not from the Lord. It must be from somewhere else. So where we want to take control of everything, it's not an issue. It's not an issue. It's a sin that when you control something. My desire is to take control of the areas of the life simply in rebellions of against God. It's not like, again, an issue. It is a sin. If you want to take the control of it, it becomes a sin to it. So, the first is release all control, and second is embracing of his lordship. Saying, Lord, all of mine, it's not mine, it's all yours. Your will be done, Lord. It's not my agenda, it's your agenda, Lord. And Jesus carrying all these things, and God wants to carry all our burdens. He says, leave it to me, I will take control of it. You know, I have a friend of mine. For years, he was serving in the church with all his heart. He was there serving in that church and ushering in greeters and board members. He was doing everything. And all of a sudden, he had a tumor. And he got this tumor and he got paralyzed. And he's on the hospital bed from here down, paralyzed for 21 years. He can't take control of his life. His wife took off. His kids took off because they couldn't handle this pressure. But if they understood to release it and say, Lord, I'm releasing my husband into your hands. Take full control of my husband, Lord. But she wanted to do it in her own strength. You cannot do it in your own strength. I cannot do it in my own strength. We must release it and let it go and let God take the rest. Until 21 years, still on the hospital bed. But the mother still there kneeling down before him every single day. Husband and wife, mother and father quit their jobs to stay with him every day for 21 years. Because now they can't do anything. Lord, my son is into your hands. And you know something? Even through that, when I go see him, he can't speak. he can't even write. There's a little things, a little hand move, just a little bit of finger, and he puts one letter, and we have to figure out what he's trying to say. But he's still there. He's still there. Being a witness. Wow. I have no words to say that. When we look at that, we can ask the question, Lord, why? But you know, we got to change the word why and say, Lord, it's in your hands. Because I know that you're loving. And that your love never fails. I know you're so kind. And you will help us through it. Bible tells us Psalm 55:22, cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. What is your burden today? Let it go and let God carry it. It does not mean he's not going to crush you with it. Or to carry you away, to draw you away. That's not his intent. That's not his plan this morning. It is the test to trust in God to carry it for you. And you and I will experience an incredible freedom when we surrender all to him. You know, when we say surrender all, we come when we sing, I surrender all to thee. We must release it. If a cop comes to you and puts his gun to you because you've stole something that you should not do, you're not going to hold on to this and say, no, I'm holding on to this cash. You can't hold on to it. He says, surrender. You got to let it go. When he tells us to surrender, we want to, I surrender half. No, all. You have whatever it is. If it is control, drop it. If it is family, drop it. If it is finances, drop it. If whatever it is, if it's time, drop it. I surrender all. Let it go and let God do the work in that life. Let it go. Release it from your life and say, God, you're so loving. You're so kind. And you promise us through the scriptures, you will never leave me or never forsake me, Lord. Isn't that a promise for you and I this morning? So release it. And to some of us this morning have an issue. And I might touch some of the hearts, and I might step on some of the toes, because God has worked in my life when I was preparing this. And I had to release things out of my life, because I want to experience the power of his resurrection. I want to experience his love. I want more of him every day. It's exhausting when you and I take our own stuff and try to control it in our own ways. And then when you do it in your own way, oh, I can't do it no more. No, because you have to release it. Let God take care of it. Release it in the hand of God. He will take care of it. And some of us here has controlled our children. And some of us are controlling our wives or our husbands. You must let it go and trust in the Almighty God that he will take care of it. Release it and tell him, Lord, it's in your hands, God. The way God has hit my heart this morning, and I'm saying it not because I'm just emotional like this. No, I'm saying because it hit my heart. There's things in my heart that I had to let go. And there's things that we and I must let go this morning. And I know this message is not just for me. Because if it was just for me, I would have stayed home and took it myself. But Lord, no, God wants me to share it with you this morning. And some of you has to release the things that is controlling your life today. And say, God, well, yeah, I'm going to let it go. But I am trusting you, Lord. I'm letting it go. And I'm trusting in you, Lord. And you will see, you will sense this freedom upon your life. We want our children to be like us. No, let them be how God designed them to be. We want our wives to think like us. No, please, no. Make them be how God wants them to be. And wives, you want your husband to act like you? No. Let them be how God designed them to be. Trust in God that they will take full control of the life of that person. If God is using your spouse, just trust God that God will use them more and more, and just make them be used by the power of God. Don't try to control that. It's good to give advice. Remember, we're there to lead. So this morning, am I the only one that's getting this message? We must release and must submit to the Lordship and believe in Him. Let's all stand this morning. As Brother Ulrich will come here, we're going to sing a song. But I don't want to conclude this way because I did say that we're going to pray for the sick this morning. And before we go on this morning, I don't know if you have heard, but some of you might have heard, where Brother Jim, and he comes to me this morning with Jim.